Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
This is The Morning After. I am Jason Colucci, your host. I just came off the Mike and Judy show. Wait, hold on one second over there.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. This is The Morning After. This is like the restaurant business. You know, nothing's perfect. We just try to make it work. I just want to talk about a couple of things before we go into my first guest, Eddie Wong. I saw a great movie yesterday. It was actually probably, it reminded me of seeing Citizen Kane. I saw the new Twilight film. But I saw it at the Pavilion Theater in Park Slope, Brooklyn, which is probably the worst theater to go to. I only say that because we bought a ticket and we walked in and we were getting our ticket, myself and my girlfriend, while we were getting the ticket ripped, the lady said, "Oh, you can't come in yet." I was like, "What?" She's like, "No, you can't come in. The show doesn't start." Now, I'm really anal about getting to movies. I like to get there early. I like a specific seat. I like to get there an hour early. But, you know, there's a plenty of space to sit there. It was freezing outside. So, you know, Pavilion Theater on 14th and Prospect Park West, not the best place to see Twilight. But I did like the movie. You know, it reminded me of, you know, the first time I bought a VHS camera and cataloged a wedding, somebody who was pregnant and then had a baby. For the first hour and a half of this movie, you're basically watching a home video. And then the werewolves come and the vampires come and there's fights ensue. But I did enjoy it. Also, I wanted to... what else we got going on here? Oh, how to listen to The Morning After. There's two ways to listen to this show. Now, if you're listening to it live right now, my parents, anyone that has lineage with the name Colucci, I thank you very much. But if you don't listen to it live, you can listen to it on iTunes via The Morning After with Jason Colucci, or listen to it on Heritage Radio Network. Click on Jason Colucci. You can listen to each individual segment. Speaking of segments, Eddie Wong, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Yo, bro, what's up?
How's it going?
This is the interview of interviews. Thanks, Eddie. Man, you know, we hung out the other day, and we have so much in common in terms of growing up around the same time and hip-hop music being a big influence on our lives and family and stuff. And the first thing I noticed when I walked into Bauhaus on 14th Street was the sense of family. And I asked you, a lot of the photographs on the website and in the restaurant are all of your childhood. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I got all my family photos up from, it's me and my brothers, you know, my parents in Taiwan, my grandparents in Taiwan, and we were born in D.C. and then lived in Orlando. So it's just kind of like photos of a Chinese-American family all the way from China to Taiwan to D.C. to New York now. So it kind of chronicles all of it.
And do you embrace that that ethos when opening your business in terms of... What are you at, a football game right now? Where are you?
Sorry, Sorry, say that again.
I'm saying, do you...
I'm by this bar where they're playing the Jets and Redskins game, so...
Well, we know. Well, if we know anything about sports, the Redskins probably just scored. We talked about just family and stuff, and you bring a lot of that ethos into your community. You employ 15 to 18 people, I believe. Does that translate from family, or is that something you've sort of found later in life?
Wait, I don't get it. What'd you say?
I was asking you in terms of your management philosophy at Bauhaus and with your company, how you sort of manage your people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm only 29 years old. My brother, who's my partner, he's only 24 years old. So we kind of treat people like our family and friends. You know, if there's a problem, we talk to them just like you talk to someone when there's a problem within your crew. And you know, we have write-ups and things like every other business, but we really are a more family-oriented restaurant, not just in terms of service, but in terms of how we operate. And everybody kicks it, you know. I mean, my own employees are the ones that first started tagging up the bathroom, and then once they started tagging the bathroom, I was like, forget it. Like, if the employees are going to do graffiti in the restaurant, there's no way of containing this, so we let it go.
Now, you were on Tony Bourdain's new show, Layover, which I watched your segment, which is pretty funny, which was probably a big thing for yourself. And a lot of comparisons compare you guys as very similar people. You know, you own a restaurant, but you also do a lot of things. You are a stand-up comedy. You make T-shirts. You studied to be a lawyer. What is that all about?
The show or me?
No, well, just mean, you as a whole. As
the questions are mad broad, man. I need yes or no shit.
But what? I'm just going off of our pre-interview. No, but I mean that in a sense of is an entrepreneurial kind of sensibility. You're like me. You're in a million. Your head's in a million different places. You can't concentrate on one thing. Hence, not a yes or no answer with my questions.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of just do what I want to do. If I wake up and I want a bottle of hot sauce, I'm going to bottle of hot sauce. Or if I want to go do stand-up comedy, I'm going to go do it. Like, life's just too short, man. Like, I that's why I never told people to call me a chef, because I don't know how long I'm going to do this for. You know, I love food, and I woke up one day and was like, I'm going to make a restaurant. I'm going to call it Bauhaus, and I did it. But, you know, it could be, I could wake up tomorrow and want to do something different. So I feel like I just go with the flow. I go with whatever inspires me, and that's why it's always real. You know, the product is always honest, and we're always having fun. Like, I can tell. Yeah, I tell people the most important thing at work is, like, have fun. You know, if you're not enjoying it, people can tell. If you got, like, a stanky-faced register person, like, no one wants to order more than one bow, you know? So I tell people, like, if you want to do well, you want people to tip you, you want people to come back, like, have fun. And if you're not having fun, you should work somewhere else.
Well, Eddie, in honor of your appearance, I employed the services of a hip-hop group from Camden, Maine called Texaco Towers. And they a gentleman named Carte Blanche, who is the MC of Texaco Towers, put together this song in honor of your appearance. Please stay on the line. This song will take us out to our next guest, Katie Howard, just so you can hear it. Eddie, thank you for your time. Here we go. This is an ode to...
All right.
Yo, yo, it's Carte Blanche here, Texaco Towers. Eddie Hum, Eddie Wong, what you want me to call you, son? Born in AC, here I am. Moved to Orlando with my Taiwanese fam. I owe me stuff, Mickey Mouse, what you want from me, man? The impresario of his barrio. Whatever this guy can see, he can be. Believe you me, just wait and see. Mexico Towers, we out.
And we're back here. Well, that was an interesting interview with Eddie. That was actually a lot of fun. He obviously was at a football game. I wonder what place he was at. That was a band called Texaco Towers that operates out of Camden, Maine, where real hip-hop comes from. Where are we now on the show? Because I'm a little thrown off. That was kind of a funny interview. I really enjoyed that with Eddie. But I'm going to go into my next guest who, you know, it's sort of we're taking the polar end of the interview thing. We're going into Katie Howard from PBS.
What up?
Now, Katie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Just back from Miami.
Yep.
Or I'd call it Miami.
Miami.
Down
for Art Basel.
I asked you to sort of deconstruct the Nathan Myhrvold book, yeah. Modernist Cuisine, and talk about just the photography in it, because there was a lot of different things in the book that were photographs, but they didn't sort of... I didn't know how to read them, if they were just photographs, but I wanted to take an art perspective and have you deconstruct them, and you did. Can you talk a little bit about the photographs in the book?
Sure. I mean, they were beautifully done photographs, and I believe the photographer was Ryan Matthew Smith, who is a genius at Photoshop, and not in a negative way. You know, the photographs are really kind of showing how the food is made, and he really likes like kind of cutting things in half and showing what's going on while you're cooking, and but not only that, he likes to take kind of like how we imagine the way food looks at its best and put that on paper.
Now, are you talking about Nathan or the photographer or the...
The photographer.
Okay, so he took the photos and also did the post-production work in Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm sure it was a collaboration between him and Nathan as to how they wanted the book to look and how the food was, like, you know, front and center, which it really was. I mean, it's really all about those photographs. And you know, I know that Wiley Dufresne and you know... Everybody was like, oh, this changes the way you cook at home. But, you know, the photographs really are front and center in my eyes in that book. So,
as someone who looks at art all the time, whether it's paintings or something, how do these, you know, when interviewing Nathan, which we did a few weeks ago, I asked him about this stuff, and he said he put an ad in Craigslist for somebody, and I before maybe
That's
this
awesome.
Person came, and because he wanted to take an untraditional sense of like of photography, and you know, somebody with a different interpretation of the typical cookbook.
Yeah.
Did you notice other than
I did? I mean, for me, it was more about the food in action rather than the finished plate. And so he was deconstructing dishes not only as they were finished but while they were being cooked and while they were being grown and what they are in its essential purest elements. There's one photograph of like a hamburger that it's layers and he tears apart all the layers and then explains how each element is cooked within that photograph. And it's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, they did this in his shop. Nathan Myhrvold owns a company called I think Intellectual Ventures. I'm not, and they basically are they run a lot of patents. And he's a foodie. He's a photographer. He's an archaeologist. He worked for Microsoft for years, and he's actually a chef as well. And decided to do this book. And one of the benefits of doing the book was he has this entire shop where they cut like everything in half, so you could see the photo, and you see this in the photography. And anything that you notice with that sort of stuff?
I mean, it's just kind of it's definitely pushing the envelope for the traditional cookbook. I mean, I would go so far as to say that it's avant-garde in terms of cookbook photographs. You know, and they could really be taken alone and sold as, you know, art photographs as well, in the right context. But they're really he's kind of really elevated it and kind of bumped everything up. And you know, you take like a grapefruit slice and he's taken it and kind of made it look the way that it looks the best in our mind, you know, and pops up the color and the contrast and the, you know, all just the images are just so beautiful. You just want to eat everything.
Yeah, you were saying that this is a grapefruit, how we actually see it in reality does not look like a grapefruit in the book.
Right. Well, how we see it in our minds is like this bright pink, juicy, you know, piece of fruit with all these different variation in colors. And then if you go take a picture of a piece of grapefruit, it's, you know, it's probably going to look kind of pink, but mostly gray. And they really managed to make it look the way kind of we imagine it.
Well, I haven't seen you in a while. We're gonna talk to a friend right now, 86list.com, and we're gonna come back right after we talk to her and talk about where you've been. You were in Miami for a little while, and what's going on with PBS and all that stuff. 86list.com, Laura Wirtz, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Jason?
Oh, no introduction music today. This is the No Frills Morning After. Laura Wirtz, what is the hot job of the week?
This hot job of the week comes from Pearl Oyster Bar, the pioneering seafood restaurant in the West Village. They are looking for garde manger right now, people that have the ability to shuck shellfish, make salads, and they're also going to handle the desserts. And they're expected to advance to the hotline, so they're looking for a person that has a well-rounded experience.
Okay, okay. 86list.com, your Twitter feed is off the chart. I follow you guys, and you're everywhere. What's going on? What do you guys eat out every night over at 86list.com?
You know, like everyone else, whenever it gets cold outside, you're just hungry. So, yeah, we've definitely been out there eating a little more.
Let's revisit this. If anyone wants to, a restaurateur wants to post a job to 86list.com, what is the protocol?
Well, you have to become a member.
I'm sorry, I don't know if that was too...
You can go to 86list.com and join as a member, which allows you access to all of the jobs that we post and also a forum and the access to contact some of the people that are looking for the job directly.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was too broad of a question because Eddie Young couldn't... He liked yes or no questions, so I wanted to make sure that was a pretty broad question. I don't know if you... Were you listening to that interview?
Yes, I was.
Okay, well...
He was watching sports.
He was. These sports. Anyway, morning after, Laura Wirtz, 86list.com. We're going to go right into Katie Howard again. Thank you, 86list.com. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Katie, Miami, what were you doing down there?
I was down for Art Basel, kind of taking in the sights and the events.
Did you buy any of Sylvester Stallone's paintings?
I did not, but I did pick up a couple pieces, I think. They're still in negotiation.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is for your own private...
Just for fun.
What kind of negotiations are we looking at here?
Oh, just to, you know, if you guys are looking into collecting art, you shouldn't have to pay all up front. And so it's just kind of negotiations about, you know, payment plans and cost and all that fun stuff.
Are you our generation's Gertrude Stein, or should we, should I buy everything that you buy?
Maybe.
I feel like I should just
maybe.
Going by your.
As long as you give me the 15%, you know.
Well, no, I'm just gonna see what you buy, and I'm just gonna show up and buy that same artist.
Sure. Yeah. That would be a good idea. I don't know. We'll see in the future. It's only time can tell.
How's life at PBS?
It's great. You know, I unfortunately don't work in the PBS office. I work from home, and home is great. I have a puppy, so we play a lot. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a big part of the show, and I want to thank you for your time. Again, we're going to take a break, but you're going to be here for the rest of the show, and please feel free to talk.
Great.
Don't ask any too big questions, because guests can't handle that.
Okay,
only
so
yes or no stuff.
Vague questions, just like you.
Yeah, vague questions.
Okay, great.
Very, very vague, very vague questions. This is The Morning After. I am Jason Colucci. We are going to take a break. We're going to go right into our next guest, Chef Allegretti. Goya Seafood. We're going to take a break. Sorry.
Knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see. In an octopus's garden in the shade. We would be warm below the storm in our little hideaway.
Oh, my boy Ringo, Octopus's Garden. If anyone's buying octopus in the city, they're going to call this gentleman. His name is Stephen Freed. He has a company called Guyo Specialty Food. Stephen Freed.
How are you, man?
What's up, brother?
It's all good. Beautiful day.
I ran into you at the Eater Awards, but that thing comes up a lot, but we knew each other for a while. But you know a ton of people. Can you talk about your history before Guyo Specialty Foods?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a food journalist. I hosted a cooking show a couple of years ago called Beyond the Dish that has been running on Channel 25 NYC TV for the past couple of years. And that's been a lot of fun. Cruise around the city on my Vespa meeting with chefs and talking about their backgrounds and passions and cooking up some good food. And I've done a bunch of work with the Beard Foundation, covering a lot of their events. And got into the octopus business about a year ago, actually, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, which is interesting. One of my mentors, Stephen Lewandowski from Tribeca Grill, called me, or sent me an email, and had spoken about your product. And this is chefs don't talk a lot, especially about people that show up with products, because it happens every day. And he said, you really got to try this stuff out. And I contacted you, and we're doing business. That's a whole nother thing. But I want to just concentrate on the product that you sell. What is the difference? If somebody goes into a store, what is the demystify the octopus argument for us?
So, many people, octopus is very trendy right now, and many people are eating it in restaurants, and they're serving it at a lot of great restaurants and such, but to cook octopus is a big fear of, how do I make it tender? People have tried it, and it's really not an easy product to cook. What we've done is we've actually created a method, a proprietary method, where we actually tenderize the octopus, which we're getting from the Canary Islands, and we're getting all sizes from babies, 5-10 ounces up to 6-8 pounders, and we tenderize these in sea salt and ice water in these stainless steel machines. So kind of like the ancient Greeks, we used to take the octopus and smack them on the rocks to tenderize them. We're essentially doing the same thing, but with modern methods, with the tumblers and the sea salt. We're putting the ocean back into the product, and therefore the flavor profile is unbelievable, and the texture is great, and the cooking time is much shortened, and you get a lot more yield on the product as well.
Yeah, yield is important, because I think a lot of personal cooks in their house don't realize when they buy something how much, I guess a classic example, which is more of a vegetable thing, is you buy a case of spinach and how much it actually comes down to. I mean, I think
exactly.
That's a good metaphor. I mean, in restaurants, when you're dealing with a high, ticket-priced product, whether it's octopus or whatever, after you cook it, there's a yield factor, and whether it's it shrinks down 75% or 50%, I will personally vouch for this octopus. It is pretty much looks exactly the same after you cook it as you see it, and the taste is amazing. But you're also doing some other stuff. What's the other fish that you guys are doing?
Well, we have sepia as well, beautiful sepia.
What is sepia for the listeners?
Well, sepia is also known as cuttlefish. It's a cephalopod, and it's sort of kind of similar to calamari, but a little bit more delicate, a little bit more flavorful, and it's been getting incredible feedback throughout the restaurant community in New York.
I actually tried sepia for the first time.
And a lot of chefs actually. Do sepia in risotto, but actually, Katie actually wants to ask a question. Katie, what's up?
I tried sepia for the first time the other week, and it was unbelievable.
Where were you?
I was at Fish Tag on the Upper West Side.
That's ours.
Is it? That's awesome. Okay, so I have two questions for you.
Yes.
Okay, what color is your Vespa?
My Vespa seafoam green.
Awesome. Okay. And how is your favorite way to prepare your octopus?
Well, I like to use the babies. What I do is you boil them for 5 minutes, sort of like it creates its own court bouillon. This is an old Italian method. You shut the water off, you let it sit for 20, and at that point, it's ready to eat. So you could cut it up and use it in salads, or you could then marinate it for a few hours with some olive oil, some herbs, some crushed garlic, some chilies, and then throw it on the grill.
Stephen Fried, I know you're dying to talk about this olive oil. What's the Greek olive oil argument that's going on? Demystify our olive oil, too. I want to get these two things out of the way. Octopus and olive oil.
And they go hand in hand. Well, because I have a lot of contacts with chefs and restaurant folks, people suss me out often and say, hey, maybe you can help us sell this product. So I met a manufacturer of some beautiful Greek olive oil made in the island of Crete. And it's a fruity, clean, very well-balanced oil. And I'm bringing it into some wonderful restaurants. And it's just a great product. It's almost like a workhorse. You can do a lot of things with it. It's not super, super, top of the line, super Tuscan. And if it, there's this thing in the industry about Italian. All the chefs want to use Italian, or a lot of them do, because they think Italian's the best. And although Italian oil is great and has all different grades and varieties, some of the best oil in the world is coming out of Greece.
Yeah.
My oil that we're selling is called Eliros, E-L-Y-R-O-S, and it's available at a lot of retail stores and soon to be private labeled at some pretty fancy places. They're made by trees that are 3,000 to 5,000 year old. And it's pretty amazing. You know, some of the oldest trees in the world are producing this oil.
So Achilles could have peed on this tree at one point.
What's that?
That was a joke. if a restaurant wanted to get in touch with you or anyone here that's listening, do you deal with residential or is it mostly just resident?
Well, that's a really good question. We just about 2 or 3 months ago got the octopus and sepia product on to Gilt Taste. So the Gilt Group launched Gilt Taste. It's GiltTaste.com, and now anyone in the country can purchase this product shipped overnight, frozen, and the product actually gets better frozen, so don't have a fear about that, anyone is listening. But we can deliver it the next day to your door, and we're selling primarily the baby and the 1 to 2 pounders and a variety of the sizes of sepia, and that's on GiltTaste.com.
And the Guyo Specialty Foods, what's that number?
So Gulo Specialty Foods, if you want to get a hold of me, if you're a chef, restaurateur, somebody who wants to get samples of my product, you can call my cell phone at 917-655-0908, or you can text me, and we'll get you some samples to check out.
Stephen Fried, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk next week. Gulo Foods in the house. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Chef Allegretti. Morning After with Jason Caligiuri.
My pleasure. Take care.
That was Huey Lewis in the news. That was my Patrick Bateman. We're back. Stephen Fried, actually, I totally vouch for that product. It's pretty insane. And any high-end restaurant is serving octopus is definitely is using that product. I want to go into my next guest, Chef Allegretti. Chef Allegretti is a native of Nice, France. Chef Allegretti was also raised in Italy. This dichotomy of both ethnic backgrounds has been convenient cooking in a country that embraces both countries. He's here today to discuss his new restaurant and how a team effort plays a huge factor in the business and blurs the lines of a celebrity chef. Chef, are you there?
I am here.
Well, we spoke a couple of days ago, and I'm astounded by your presence here on The Morning After because I'm a huge fan of your cooking. I was a huge fan of Allegretti. But the first thing we spoke about was where your first restaurant was, Allegretti, and where your restaurant is now is on 22nd and 23rd. And you brought up an amazing point about New York City, how even a couple of blocks or even a block will make or break a place. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, I won't disagree with you. I think, you know, Allegretti was a great restaurant, but definitely not in the best area in Chelsea. So let's try to move, you know, whatever was successful on 22nd Street to 23rd Street and just live in 22nd Street and 22nd Street, what was kind of messy.
And what's the restaurant now? What's your project now?
You know, again, you know, I think it's trying to understand what the neighbor is looking for, you know, and working with them, you know.
One major point that I brought up in your introduction was you emphasized about a major team effort of restaurants, whether it's the booker, the hostess, the maitre d', the bartender, or even the chef. It's a team effort because we had spoken about celebrity chefs, and you had said that you know the business needs that, but you also talked about just the team effort. What does that mean to you in New York City?
Well, I think this is the key of the success, you know what I mean? It's like if you look at the boat, you know what I mean, a cruise, you know, you have one captain and you have, you know, the full people who are on board who are making everybody happy. So let's say I'm the captain of the ship and, you know, I do have a great team behind me, you know, for the most part who have been working with me for a long time. And, they just, you know, make it happen.
Yeah, and you guys are doing a bunch of different stuff. We had spoken about catering to the neighborhood of Chelsea, but also sort of make creatively as an artist, doing stuff as a chef. You know, you offer a burger, say, for somebody that wants to walk in. But what are some of the other items for somebody who wants to be a little bit more, necessarily inspired when they're ordering food?
We do have, you know, some frog legs Provençal. We do have some vitello tonnato, which is made with a slice of sushi tuna and sweetbread. You know, so, you know, these two items are a little bit more sophisticated for people who are a little bit more adventurous.
And, you know, you don't, frog legs you don't see on menus as much as you used to. And where do you procure frog legs? I've been a buyer for many years. I've never bought it. Is there a specific place they come from?
Down to Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting enough. Now, I wanted to bring up the fact of all your history of growing up in Nice and then moving to Italy. You had brought up a great point of whenever it's convenient, you bring up Italy or France. Do you see are you sort of a morph version of those two countries, or do you play to both?
Well, I guess, you know, for the both part that I am in Italy or in France, I'm from Nice, you know, from France, and I'm from Palermo in Italy. So both of them are, you know, very close to the water, and I'm not going to say both of them are like very similar cuisine, but, you know, since it's based on seafood, so I guess, you know, just take, you know, the opportunity of showing both routes, you know, to my patrons.
What year did you come to the States? How old were you?
I'm 42 years old, and I came here when I was 30 years old.
You're 42. You're a gorgeous. You're a good looking man.
Very brave saying your name. I mean your age.
Yeah. That's Katie Howard. She's in studio. So that's when you came here. That's amazing. Because you came on the scene. Allegretti came out of nowhere, and it was. I don't care what anyone says. It was a critical success. I remember when walking out of it and looking to the left, I remember seeing an Olive Garden on that one corner there. But because it was definitely a bad block. But where you are now is a great block. What are the cross streets on 23rd that you're at now?
We're in between 9th and 10th.
9th and 10th.
Yeah, very, you know, on 10th you have right on the front of the entrance of the High Line. You know, we are located in the iconic London Terrace building, and we have so many great buildings around. So an opportunity to deal with a lot of neighborhood patrons.
The High Line, which is the garden in the sky, as us New Yorkers call it.
Absolutely.
if you guys are Monday through Sunday, if anyone wanted to make a reservation or come there, what are your guys' hours and stuff?
Yeah, we are open Monday to Sunday for lunch and dinner. We're offering brunch on Saturday, Sunday, the hour of operation, you know, from 11:45 for lunch until like 3, and dinner 5:30 to 11 during the week and until midnight on the weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Thank you, Chef. I love to have you back. I'm cautiously following your career. The morning after is following your career. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason. It was a pleasure.
Anytime. That was Chef Allegretti. We're going to take a break. We're going to go into A Minute with a Mensch, Bruce Funk. Maroon 5 to save the show. I don't know if anyone watched the Victoria's Secret show. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday. But Adam, what's his name? Adam Lambert? Adam Levine? Same thing.
Who's Adam Lambert?
I don't know.
That name's popular, too.
But I just want to clarify a bunch of things, because we're going to my comfort zone, who is Bruce Funk, in a minute. But if anyone's wondering what's going on in the background, there's actually a drinking contest going on at Roberta's, and I have my money with the Heritage Foods USA, Patrick Martins, Carlos in the booth today. Carlos, say hello if you can. I don't know if you had to do that control
hello.
Yet.
Hello.
Okay. Carlos, engineer, Jack Kinsley is off drinking in the background. I don't know. I guarantee it's a full moon tonight. It's just going to be a kind of a weird morning.
Actually,
after.
The full moon is this Sunday coming up.
Sunday today or next week?
No, next week.
Oh,
I only know this because of my yoga schedule.
My yoga schedule goes by the moon as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I do it at a crescent moon once a month. but Bruce Funk... A Minute with a Mensch, a segment I created this week. Bruce, are you there?
I am here with bated breath.
Bruce Funk, please save the morning after this show. I've had on probably some of the top people in the city, and I have to be honest. I felt, actually, Chef Allegretti was there. I have to give him that, but everyone else kind of fell short. Stephen Fried was there a little bit, too, but I don't know. Maybe I'm in a different state of mind. Maybe the Twilight movie threw me off or something. I don't know. But a Minute with a Mensch. Bruce, what's going on in the city? You're hitting the pavement every day. What's up?
Well... This is definitely holiday season, festive, crowded streets, a lot of tourists, but there's a terrific pulse that abounds in the city in, you know, major areas. One specific area that I would recommend highly to anybody who's walking around the streets on 57th and 5th is the department store of Bergdorf Goodman. Their windows during this season are windows that you should not miss with design. Every year it's different. This year there's a play on animals on parade, which are just mind-blowing to view. Anybody who is walking around the city should definitely not miss these windows.
Okay. Okay, when I think of windows, I think of the movie Mannequin with Andrew McCartney and Kim Cattrall. That's the movie that comes up in my head. But where else? So you're in Midtown and you're looking at the windows and you wanna spend, I don't know, $24 on a hamburger. Where do you go?
Would probably recommend maybe not $24, but just to wander over to Bryant Park. There is the pond. During this season, we have an ice skating rink. You have your Christmas shopping booths, the same as in Union Square, there's one in Grand Central as well, where they have these booths set up strictly for gift giving places. You can have some hot cider or some hot chocolate. And they have a view of, in Bryant Park, an overlooking restaurant where you can get some great, not too expensive hamburgers. They probably have sliders and mac and cheese and the rest of this stuff. But the atmosphere is just terrific.
Now, Bruce, you are a very popular guest with the listeners. You were on a few weeks ago. You work for a company called Stein Meats. M. Stein Meats.
Yes, Einstein Meats, right.
Einstein Meats. We're friends, and we talk a lot, and I definitely, we both consider each other mensches. what does that word mean, mensch?
Mensch is just what it sounds like, a good person that is that has no agenda, that is always can go to sleep at night knowing that he was terrific the whole day. And everybody appeals to him as he appeals to them.
Are you watching? Can I ask you a question? Are you another guest watching a football game in the background?
Not yet. No, the Giants are going to be going on in probably about another half hour, 15 minutes to a half hour. The Jets are tied up right now at 13-all.
So you're watching the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bruce, thank you for your time. We're gonna talk to you after the. Can I book you after the New Year? We can talk a little bit about what to do the first week of January, probably the most...
Without question. Just let me... The gal before was just mentioning about the full moon.
Katie Howard. She's actually not a gal. Her name is Katie Howard, but...
Yeah, we met last time you were on. I was in the studio with you.
How you doing?
Okay, that's great.
Well, how are you?
Say what you're going to say, Bruce.
Sorry.
Yeah, but just talking about the full moon, an evening stroll on the High Line.
The Garden in the Sky. The Garden in the Sky. Sorry.
Fabulous. All the lights of the city, and it's just a unbelievable stroll for about a half hour, 45 minutes, weather permitting.
Thank you, Mr. Funk. Carlos, don't hit any buttons over there because we're going to do our wrap-up plugs for a couple of minutes with Katie and Jesse and everyone here that's in studio. Bruce, talk to you in a few weeks. Thanks, man. Love you.
I will, Jason. Have a nice week.
Bye-bye. Howard, I love your presence here. I feel like my IQ went up, I don't know, 60 points.
No way.
Were you quiet now?
Yeah, sorry. No, I don't. I'm not that... You give me too much credit.
I do, because I definitely like your style of deconstructing. But, Jess, you're here right now. Jess Kiefer. Sorry, my mind's in a million different places.
It must be the loud drinking game in the background.
Well, you know, I have an affinity to anything that sounds remotely like a frat party, and I feel like it's going on in the next thing. It kind of turns me off a little bit. But what's going on with the morning after in the next few weeks? I don't think we have anything going on, but tell me what's going on.
We're going to have a lot of things going on, so everyone should stay tuned and be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to say on behalf of my hosting thing, I want to thank you for all your time in terms of booking people like great interviews like Eddie. No, I kid, but
there's only so much I can do, Jason.
No, I'm kidding. But I will vouch for Eddie because I met with Eddie like 2 or 3 days ago, and I said to you before, I said that was it was an amazing thing. He's one of those people that's just all over the place like myself. Like, you might meet me on Monday, but you talk to me on Friday, and you'd be like, what's going on with this guy? So I think that's kind of what's... And then football's on. I know he's a huge sports fan.
I think maybe if we had some Four Loko in studio...
He
would have been able to make it in.
Well, he had that big meeting that he had to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. This is the morning after. We're gonna ease out here without the morning after intro extra. We're gonna take it out easy. Actually, you know what, Carlos? I'm gonna put us out with a song here. Let me pull up my iTunes thing. Where is my iTunes? Actually, you know what? Let's go out with the song by Texco Towers. Soon to be released on iTunes. Texco Towers is a band. I think they're in Camden, Maine, or Rockport, Maine.
I think you said that a couple times.
No, but I want to give it... These guys put this song together. It's not the best song in the world, but they put it together. I am Jason Colucci. This is The Morning After. I want to thank all my 100 guests and all their call-ins and Verizon and T-Mobile and everybody else's cell phone connection. Here we are, Morning After, Texco Towers, the Eddie Wong song.
With my Taiwanese fam, I only stuff Mickey Mouse. What you want from me, man? The impresario of his barrio. Whatever this guy can see, he can be. Believe you me, just wait and see. I don't know what this guy's all about. Eddie Hunt, Eddie Wong, what you want us to call you, son? It's your boy.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.